I want to talk to you briefly about God being a vibrant, living, active partner in your life. I have a lot of deep feelings this morning, and I'm not sure all the reasons for that. We need the partnership of God and His precious Spirit, the comfort of His Spirit, more than ever before. I don't think there's a more hurting generation that's ever lived. Under the umbrella of our organization here, Chapel Ministries Outreach, we've been privileged to be given the outreach in Haiti that my father started and was instrumental in starting, part of starting certainly years ago. Never dreamed that God would open that. We moved to this location, tried to follow the call of God, and never dreamed that He would open up some of the outreaches He has and give us 58 churches in Haiti to oversee spiritually. 10,000 attendees. Never dreamed that. But in visiting a third world country that's been devastated by earthquake and hunger for years and voodoo worship, and comparing that to 32 years of pastoring in the States, yes, we have nice cars, beautiful homes, plush carpets, push button, everything, the nicest of electronic gadgets. But I don't know of a generation that's more hurting than this one. We've paid a horrible price. We've paid a horrible price for our chasing of dollars and our industrial age and the busyness of life and the broken relationships. And we've had the last couple generations grow up without identity and very hurting. And I believe that we are on the eve of the return of Christ. World events everywhere signal that it is the time for Jesus to return. What's happening in the Middle East, what's happening all across our world, the spread of disease, the political situation, the banking system of the world, and the huge debt, the mess that's been created all across our world calls for a super hero to appear, which the devil is going to offer, that we read in the scripture and refer to as the Antichrist. We're in a new season, I believe, in the Church of Jesus Christ. I think some are in tune with that and some aren't. I believe we're in the period of the last call. And when I took a year off, which was a costly year in many ways, in terms of there was a lot of suffering and difficulty in my own life, and it was that year that my son fell and on the same day and nearly died in an accident, and we went through a lot of turmoil in our move, and no one's fault, just things aren't easy when you change and start new things. But God had given me His word that there was a new season and that the call should be stronger than ever before. And that we should be strategically placed in a geographical place that was easy to find, and that our doors should be open to the people who felt unwelcome at other churches. No reflection, nothing, not saying it in a slanderous way. But that our doors should be wide open to the people who are struggling the most, because we have something to offer, and it's the available comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's appropriate to use a dove, because the Holy Spirit came and lighted on Jesus in the form of a dove. I wouldn't pick something to represent the Holy Spirit. I reverence God's Spirit too much to just pick something on my own. I wouldn't trust my own judgment, and I would pick something and then wonder, did that properly illustrate? I want to reverence God, for He loves us dearly. Oh, how He loves us. He's our healer. We've sung about it this morning. But people need incredible emotional healing and spiritual healing. And I believe we live in a day and age where demonic forces are on the loose. And I think a lot of people have demonic attachments and are unaware of that due to lifestyles and things where they have opened the door to that. And they have struggles and things they wrestle with that they don't even understand. And I believe that God put us here to make us easy to find, and our doors are open. And please don't want to be offended by this, but I'm not the least bit interested in attracting people from other churches, even though they're welcome if they want to come. What I'm interested in is people that have lost their way. Because here's what I know. the people that have lost their way, he who is forgiven much loveth much. And I said to a fellow churchman the other day, he said, how do you feel about CMO, Chapel Ministries Outreach? I said, I love it. I said, it is filling up with people who have been through horrible things. But you know what I know about people who have been through horrible things? When they connect with Jesus and when they find the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they'll die for him. And they'll die for you. They'll die for you, their brother or sister, because they know what it is to hurt. They know what it is to cry themselves to sleep at night. They know what it is to live with despair. They know what it is to live and feel there's no hope of any kind. And when they find hope, they're not about to let go of it. And they don't want to fuss with little differences about doctrine. And they don't want to fuss with little differences on how the church is run. I'm tired of all that. Do you mind? Can I be that honest? I'm tired of it all. People that want to come to church and everything just suit them fine. It's got to be run just the way they want it. We ain't got time for that nonsense. Pardon my English. This is the last call. And you know who he is? He's the comforter. The deepest need of the human heart is the need for comfort. That's why people go to moral sin. They're looking for comfort. Yes, some are motivated by lust, and many it starts that way. But ultimately, I think that's why we're to be merciful, because what people are looking for is comfort. Why do people run to various things? And God's not in our face. I want to say that. We can go to various things and addictions of all kinds, and we can seek. I believe God looks past all that. And yes, he wants to work and develop us and bring us along. But the Bible says God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. God isn't a God that's got his finger in your face pointing out everything you're doing wrong. That's not who he is. I've known him a long time. I'm willing to be bold here. Oh, I had a young man say to me, I hate God. I said, no, you don't hate God. Yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. I said, you hate your concept of God, because the concept that you have and what you've seen, you hate. And in a sense, I don't blame you. If you knew the God that I know, there's no way that you could hate him. You would love him, because he's been with me through the hardest things in my life. Oh, I thought as a Christian, you got to bypass that stuff. Where'd you ever get that idea? That's bad theology. There's churches teaching that. It's all blessing. I'm telling you something. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Anybody had any? In the world, you will have tribulation. Now, we can have tribulation that's our own consequence. I made some of my own when I was a young man, and I kind of worked through that, you know. I went through some stuff. I thought, well, yeah, I've created some of this, and now I have to live it out, and it works through. You work through it. But then there's some things that are just hardships of a cursed world. God made a perfect Garden of Eden. And every day after creation, each of the days, if you look in Genesis, he said it was good, it was blessed, it was good. We've made a mess of it. Adam and Eve turned from God, left the garden. The most powerful thing in the world is the human will. You might question that, but the most powerful thing in the world is the human will. I'm not talking about dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, as far as explosiveness, where I mean power. I mean the strongest thing. The most strength is the human will, because God himself steps aside of the human will. God can call and call and call to you, and you can say no, and he will let you do that. The human will is an incredible thing. And I believe the strongest force that we know of as humans is the human will. But the Spirit, the gentle Holy Spirit, calls us. Now is the day of salvation. We're in a new season. God is calling, and he's calling intensely. He's calling hard. He's saying, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anybody need any rest? Anybody need any peace? Yeah. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. It comes from the Greek word thlipsis. In the world, you will have thlipsis. If you look up the Greek word thlipsis, it means difficulty, persecution, problems, adversity, stress. You're going to have that. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You put your faith in me. While living in a cursed world, yes, we fell from God, and a curse came on the world, natural consequence of sin. Sin's destructive. Sin destroys. We read in Revelation, when heaven comes into play, there'll be no more curse. No more curse. We live in that time period where generation after generation after generation with the power of the will has made wrong choices. And we're reaping some of that. But in the midst of it, we have a Savior who came and died for our sins and extends His hand to us and calls us. The Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraclete. We get the word parallel, alongside. In my own privacy, and you've heard me say this, in my own prayer, I call the Holy Spirit the precious partner. The precious partner. In the midst of a cursed world, He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe people are looking for comfort, and they're running to addictions, and they're running to moral sin in all kinds of ways. And the reason God is so merciful and He's so patient and He doesn't have His finger in our face condemning us is because He recognizes what's behind that we're seeking for comfort. The deepest need of the human heart is comfort. And it's interesting, in John chapter 14, in the King James Version in the Old English, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. When I leave, I'm going to die for your sins, and then I'm going to leave and go back to the Father and prepare a permanent eternal place for you, but I'm going to send you what? The Comforter. I'm going to send you the Comforter. Why is this particular thing maybe wrong, or this particular thing wrong? Is it that it's a list of rules? No, it's replacement for the Comforter. Things that we indulge in, and we all have made our mistakes, and we all have our pasts. Things that we indulge in for comfort, they're substitutes for God's Spirit. Paraclete, alongside. I want to say, and yes, I could read lots of scripture, but I want to say to you from personal experience that He will be with you, the precious partner. He will be with you through every situation. When my mother died, as I was on the phone, and I really think she was, her dying happened while I was on the phone trying to call a man here, a good friend here in the church, is in the middle of a snowstorm. I went to her house, and she was very, very sick, and I walked her back to the bathroom and helped her there, and then got her into the bedroom and said, we got to get you to the doctor. And it was in the middle of a snowstorm, to the hospital, the emergency room. And while on the phone, I believe, is when she aspirated the worst, because when I talked on the phone and then got back to her, even though I tried, I'll not be graphic, it's not pretty. But even though I tried to get her throat open, there was just too much. She had aspirated and thrown up so much, and she was gone. Was that a hard time there, sitting, waiting for an hour and a half for the snowplow to come and clear the drive and wait on the undertaker and my friends to come over and various people to come? Was that a hard time? Yes. But is He true to His word? Absolutely. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as I sat there on the floor looking at my mom's corpse and then looking back at the wall and saying, Lord, I can't believe this just happened. I got to call my brothers and sisters. I cannot believe this has happened. I don't mean this arrogantly, but if you were to ask Mom, I'm going to strangle, and you were say, Mrs. Robbins, you're going to strangle, who do you want there? She'd say, have Tom there. He'll know what to do. Well, Tom didn't get it done. And as I sat there on the floor, I did have a warmth come to my own heart. And as clear as anything, God said to me, let it go. Give it to me, Tom. She was my servant. If I wanted to take her, do you think there's anything you did or didn't do that would have changed that? And I found that the Comforter, oh, did it hurt to see Mom lifeless? Yes, but that's part of life. That's part of life. It's appointed a man once to die. We're all going to go that route. But He's with you in every valley, in every circumstance. He's the Comforter. And as my sons faced difficulties, and as one son in addictions that overdosed and was taken to the hospital, and if it wasn't for a street girl taking him to the hospital, he would have died. And I flew to Seattle to try to find him in the homeless district on the street. And as sad experience as that was, and many of you were involved in praying for us during that time, regardless of any of that, I found that the Comforter is with you, and as you walk the street and say, Lord, help me find Him, you've got your precious partner with you. When they looked me straight in the eye and they said, there's absolutely no question that you have acute myeloid leukemia, your white count's 137,000. And you are a medical emergency and you probably won't live the day, and I can't believe you haven't brain hemorrhaged. I said, okay, I need a few minutes, and they said, you're not going anywhere. I said, I know. But I said, I've always prayed about everything. And sir, had a kind doctor, Sir, may I have a few minutes? We have always prayed. Can I pray just for a few minutes and go to the parking lot? He said, don't you dare leave, but I will let you go there while we get things ready. And Pam and I went out to the parking lot, and guess who was there? Guess who was there? The precious partner. Oh, was that a surprising day? Did I see that coming? I did not see that coming. I thought I had a blood infection. I did not see that coming. When he looked at me and said, you have acute myeloid leukemia, and you're probably not going to live the day. I said, excuse me? I did not see that coming. The surprises, the hardships, the difficulties. He shows up every time. Every single time. Now, you can get bitter and angry at the circumstances of life, and he is gentle. Let's talk about that a second. God is a gentleman. Did you know that God is a gentleman? The devil, on the other hand, is not a gentleman. The devil will drive you to do things you never dreamed you would do. Anybody been there? I did things that I thought I was too smart to do. In fact, when I got myself in some messes, I thought, how did I get in this? I'm smarter than this. How did I get in this mess? Anybody relate? The enemy will drive you to do things you never dreamed you would do because he's a driver. He's pushing you. It's about lust and drive and go for it and selfishness, and he's behind you. God is a gentleman. Why did he pick a dove to represent the Holy Spirit? As I'm around nature and as I observe, I'm realizing more and more why. The soft eyes, the rounded look to the face. Is anyone here intimidated by a dove? The sound, the murmur of a dove in the evening. We've all sat on the porch or been outside and heard the murmur of a dove late in the evening. Or the morning dove in the morning. God, who made the universe, when the Spirit descended on Jesus, it lighted on him in the form of a dove. Oh, an eagle is majestic and awesome, and the scripture speaks of the eagle, but the eagle's a predator. He's intimidating. When he comes swooping down, he's way, way up in the sky, but when he comes swooping down, he's got a wingspan of 6 to 8 feet. He's intimidating. And he grabs his prey by the claws, and he's awesome, but that's not what as awesome as the eagle is. And the Bible even says, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. But when he came to the precious partner, he descended on Jesus in the form of a dove, and that's because, my friend, he's a gentle, non-intimidating, and precious partner. And he's calling. He's calling. That murmur in the evening, that call of the morning dove. In a spiritual sense, I don't think there's a day goes by. If you don't know the Lord here, there isn't a day goes by at some point in that day. He isn't trying to call you. Now, you can build layers. And you can get angry about the cursed world and what the hand that you've been dealt. And you can be, as I preached a couple weeks ago, angry at present circumstances. I've been there. You can go there. And what that does, the Bible says the Spirit is easily grieved. And oh, he still loves you and he cares for you, but he lights off and goes over and lands on that speaker because he can't be part of that. Does he still love you? Does he still call? Does he still want to come back? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he can't be part of that. That's why I urge our young people, beware of the things around you. It's not about do's and don'ts. But be careful where you go on the websites, because you want the precious partner to be able to be a part of everything you do. We sang Amazing Love, and all I do, I honor you. It isn't about do's and don'ts, and I'll go to church, and I have to quit this, and I have to quit this. No, you got somebody to bring you comfort. You got somebody to meet you where you are. You got somebody to woo you and help you and comfort you through every circumstance of life. But he can't be part of some things. And I'm sorry, my friend, if that's the choice you make, and the will's a powerful thing. And if you make that choice, he lights off and says, oh, I want to stay, but I can't be part of this. Make sense? We haven't had the gospel presented to us right. I don't mean to be arrogant. You can think, man, this guy thinks he knows more than everybody. No, but I do think that the enemy has gotten in, and I think the gospel has not been presented correctly many times. The precious partner, God, is a gentleman. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God doesn't kick doors down. But he does come along and knock. And if you've seen that picture, which many of you have, where the artist tried to illustrate that verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him or dine, eat. But it's more than just eat together. It's communion. It's where you have a meal where you're sharing your feelings. It'd be like a romantic dinner. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." God doesn't kick doors down. But the artist, as he made that picture, you'll notice there's no knob on that door. That's because the knob's on the inside. And the will's a powerful thing. And you have to make the decision to open the door. Oh, God will come along at numerous times, and maybe it's a trip to the funeral home, and you hear that knock on the door. And you say, "Nope, nope, nope, not interested." He says, "Okay," and he lights off and waits. And through the evenings and mornings, he murmurs and calls to you and tries to woo you back. And then there'll be another incident come along. I recall that happening in my own life, and there's a knock on the door again as the gentle Savior, "Hello, hello." And we keep the door shut. And we can turn him away. The knob is on the inside, for it's our own will. We have to make the decision to open the door. I never will forget Vince sharing his testimony, and I know he won't mind. I thought it was awesome the way he said it. God works in mysterious ways. He said, "I'd come to the point of desperation manufacturing meth, and so deep into meth that," he said, I was so OCD that I couldn't walk on the sidewalk without stepping on each line. I couldn't think in straight. I couldn't think in order chronologically. My thoughts were just scattered all over the place. My brain was so fried from heavy use of meth. And I remember him saying, he was walking across the 5-star parking lot. And he said, "I cried out and said, God, I had got to have help, because he'd been through some horrible things in relationship as a result and consequence of all this." And I never will forget standing in his testimony. He said, "God used the Department of Corrections to answer my prayer." Never would have thought of it that way. Didn't think that way. But I thought that was awesome with tears when he said, "I said, Lord, I have to have help. I'm desperate." And he said, "God used the Department of Corrections, and they sent me away to prison for 6 years. I forget. Wrote to you then, but I forget the exact length of time. And in that time, he learned to think all over again. He said at first he wouldn't talk because he couldn't form his words right. And God basically gave him brain healing. And to have him here as an assistant pastor reaching out to others, the precious partner will be with you every step. And it doesn't matter where you start. Look where he started. Not even able to think. Not even able to form words. God is not willing that any perish. The call is for everyone. And I believe he's calling stronger than ever before. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." The journey begins by answering the call to humble ourselves and repent. The journey begins. I've walked with the Lord for 42 years. I'm telling you something, it's a trip. It is. It's an awesome trip. The Lord's been incredibly faithful to me. I've had an exciting life. I have. And God has proved himself to me over and over. And the journey begins with answering the call, "Lord, I come to you." 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's the bottom rung of the ladder. Oh, that's starting up the ladder, and that's a huge step. And except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that step is crucial, and that is the entry level, and that's where we start. But then it's a process of gentleness, as you'll find the precious partner who doesn't condemn and isn't in your face telling you everything you're doing wrong. He's rather mercifully calling to you. And I believe we're in a new season. You know, you may not agree with this theologically, but I do believe there has been different seasons in presenting of the gospel. And we hear a lot of people talk about fire and brimstone, you know. I think there was a time that some of that was extreme, but I think there was a time when that was appropriate. That was a generation that had been raised with the Bible. They knew truth. They knew right and wrong. And somebody needed to get up and chew them out and say, "Start doing it, you know it." But that's not the case anymore. The generation growing up now have had no relationship, and they're broken and empty, and they don't have little they have little conscience because no one taught right and wrong. And we're in a season where God so gently is calling and ready and attentive to your prayer and ready to have mercy and grace. And we're nearing the time of the return of Christ. What an awesome thing it is to include God in your life. And there's a couple here today. You guys didn't think I was ever going to get to it. It's a couple here today that I love more than I can put in words. And it's Jason and Peggy Wood. And they have answered the call of having the precious partner in their life. Oh, have they had some good life and times together? Absolutely. But may I say very gently to you that life isn't complete until it's the way that God intended it to be. And God is to be part of a marriage. And he's to be included in it because he'll walk you through. He'll speak to you after an argument. He'll speak to you when you're left to center and not looking at something right. He'll open your eyes when your perception of something is wrong and your wife's is right, or vice versa. I'm telling you, this is a practical Jesus. That's why I wanted to illustrate it in this way. This is a Jesus that wants to be with you every moment. This ain't about, pardon my English, this ain't about church. I'll get to that in a second. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. And it says Adam walked with God. Now, a lot of people, that gets them worked up. Well, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. Is church a good thing? Oh, absolutely. You find a good church where people understand the love of God, it's an awesome thing. And it'll help you through tough times. And you need it. And I need it. And the Bible says, fail not to assemble. Is going to church appropriate? Yes, fail not to assemble yourselves together all the more as you see the day approaching that I'm referring to of Jesus coming back. So really, we should get together more than we do. So is church needful? But this is a relationship. And if this organization was dissolved tomorrow by the government, and this building burned to the ground, that isn't going to change tomorrow. I'm going to get up and go for a prayer walk in the morning, and me and the precious partner are going to talk about the day, and I'm going to say, well, Lord, we don't have the building. Where should we have services? And the precious partner. Because relationship. It's the relationship with God and each other, what the gospel is. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this privilege. Lord, I consider it an awesome honor to be asked to officiate today. I consider an awesome privilege to be approached by these friends. And I ask your blessing will especially be on them. And I would ask in the next 10 minutes or so that they would forget about anybody looking at them, anybody that's here, and all the stage fright and all that can go with that. And may they just be lost in the moment of inviting you. Inviting you to be a very strong part of their marriage and their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.